Welcome to SelfDiscoveryWisdom.com, formerly known as Self Discovery Media. On these podcasts, you're going to hear people who speak from the heart. They've taken the journey in life. Many things have happened to them, but they've changed it to happening for them. And in their strength, their courage, they've discovered their abilities and their wisdom, and they are now sharing it here with you. Do enjoy each show. We bring it to you with love and knowing that it's going to help you on your journey of life. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Ignite Your Heart and Soul right here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. I am your host, Sarah Troy, and my guest, a repeat guest, is Stephen Martin. We had him back on a couple of years ago where we talked about the consciousness, which we're going to be talking about today. And we talked about his book, Afterlife, The Whole Truth, at that time, but he has a new book at the present moment, and we're going to be talking about that, Fast Track to a Higher Consciousness, What They Don't Teach You in School, and Who and What You Are, and Where You Are Heading, which we all need to know that, don't we? We're in a time right at the present moment where there's a great deal of turmoil out there, and people just don't know where they're going, or how to get there, or how to tap in to the message that lies within. He is a best-selling author on a mission to speed up the shift to that higher consciousness, and he believes it is now occurring. He writes in his new book, The Fast Track to the Higher Consciousness, that the two worldviews prevalent today neither coincide with what is known as the handful of individuals to be true in this book he reveals. For the first time, a clear picture of reality based on the findings of consciousness researchers at the University of Virginia School of Medicine and outcomes of series of quantum mechanics experiments that have been verified in laboratories across the globe. So it's no wonder he says that most people sleepwalk through life. They have no idea who and what they are, why they are here, or where they are and the rest of humanity are heading. He says his book can remedy this. He reveals some will find it mind-blowing information, but he believes that will fast-track readers to take that higher consciousness and turn the results into their ability to achieve peace of mind, as well as determine the best course of action for them in order to take order of lasting happiness, purpose, and fulfillment. Well, that purpose and fulfillment, folks, is why we're here. It is the very reason why we do what we do. And this is why we actually need to raise that consciousness. Our consciousness is desperately needed to be raised right now because we have far too much turmoil in the world, imbalance in the world, which the planet is feeling and we're feeling. And we need to get back into an equilibrium and ignite that conscious wisdom that will guide us in better action and to a better world. But that better world comes from us. As the destruction does, so does the solution. So which one are you going to feed? Welcome back, Stephen. Great to have you back here again.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for having me. I'm looking forward to our chat.
Well, that higher consciousness, a lot of people kind of think it's, is it guilty conscience? Is it positive conscience? You know, let's look around what consciousness we're talking about.
Well, you know what? Consciousness is really the ground of being. I think it was Max Planck who was the founder of, who developed a quantum theory, won the Nobel Prize for it in 1918, said that we really can't get past consciousness, by which he meant that consciousness is energy, and it's energy that creates everything. It yes. creates the physical reality that we live in, and that that really solid matter doesn't exist. It's all energy. E equals mc squared, according to Einstein, which energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. And in fact, Einstein said that reality is an illusion, albeit a very persistent one, because really, there is no such thing as solid stuff. There is no, we are all part of this one mind, the separate, because we perceive everything through our five senses and our body. And so it seems like I'm here and you're there, But the truth of the matter is, we're all one. There's not a place where anything stops and something new starts.
Yeah.
It's one organic pattern that we're all part of. And the illusion is that we are separate
Yeah.
From that. So that's what kind of the consciousness I'm talking about. What do you think?
Exactly. Oh, I 100% agree with you. You know, it's we are these lovely energetic spiritual beings having a human connection, and that human experience is where we do get to touch, taste, and hold, where, you know, energy is just constantly fluid. So it extends that experience of that consciousness. But we are these conscious beings that when we tap into that energy, God, universe, spirit, when anybody wants to call it, source, when we tap into that, that becomes that wisdom, that compass that drives us. And it connects with the heart into truth, and it lifts the spirit into action, and our mind finds the clarity it needs when it needs it, because that's called the knowingness. So if that consciousness is our very beingness, it's the essence of who we are. And when we raise up that frequency, that hertz, up to that higher level, we can't knowingly hurt anyone. To do so would be to also hurt ourselves. So if we all rose up to that higher consciousness of beingness, we would actually see a bigger purpose of why we're here in this human form and what we're really meant to do. But we can't see it if we're just kind of humanoid. We need to be a conscious human.
Absolutely. I call it the part of you that is really you is what I observe. It's kind of at the back of emotions as well. And yet most of us think that we're our egos.
Mm.
And our ego is something that was built up from based on your parents and the schools we went to and the environment we lived in and our culture. And that's not really who we are. We are the source experiencing reality through this human body that we have. And once we realize that, then we can step away from reacting to situations and or thinking that we're a victim or whatever it is that we've got in our heads that we have been programmed to think and believe throughout our entire lives. We don't have to pay attention to that. We can, if we start to react to something because it's happening to us now, we can step back and say, now, why am I reacting this way? I don't need to react this way. I can react differently if I want. And so, yes, that's when you start to have the power that we all have, but very few of us actually use. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, very few. Well, I mean, I think we're seeing more and more of it. More and more people are stepping into this higher conscious. More and more people are becoming aware, which is lovely to see. But we've still got a long way to go. And, you know, I called the third dimensioners, you know, the people that are still choose to live in hate and angst and greed and opulence and power hungry and fear. You know, they can't embrace the consciousness because the consciousness in its wisdom is also peace. And you can't have all that anger and hate and be in that state of peace. So it is a willingness to take the journey outside of that. The willing the journey to, okay, I'm feeling pain, I'm feeling angry, I'm feeling fear. Well, what are you going to do about it? You know, stop pointing the finger and blaming it at everyone else. What actions can you take to empower, enrich, and make your life more meaningful and abundant? Because it really is up to us. It's our choice, isn't it?
It is. And I feel that we're here to remember who we are, that we're when we come into this reality, this physical reality, we come in through our mother's birth canal in a human body, and we go through what I call a veil of forgetting. We forget who we actually are, that we're spiritual beings that are eternal, and that we're coming into this reality to experience this reality, because by experiencing the problems that come to us and the situations that come to us and overcoming those situations is how we evolve. We're here to evolve.
Yeah.
We're here to evolve our consciousness. And if we get caught up in it and think that we're We are our egos. We are our problems. We are the victim. We're not going to go anywhere. So yeah. That's why it's important to wake up, realize that you're a eternal spiritual being, that you have the power and the ability to change situations, because your beliefs, your programming creates your reality.
Yeah,
it's what draws the basic number one law of metaphysics is that like attracts like.
Yes,
you bring to yourself what you're thinking, what your beliefs are. And so if you want your reality to change, you need to change your belief.
Absolutely.
You need to realize who you are, that you don't have to get caught up in all that mess that that you've been experiencing. You can just step away from it, step back from it, and change your beliefs.
Oh, a lot of that belief is old programming that could be DNA, literally, you know, passed on through your parents, through your you know, your ancestral line, obviously patterning in what you were brought up in and what your parents were brought up in, but also even past life patterning as well. And, you know, very often it's unresolved traumas, unresolved things or patterns that we repeat because we don't recognize them as patterns. And so how do we know how to delete them or insert a new pattern? So we do have to go on a little bit of self-discovery to find out, you know, what is in our way? What are these thoughts? Where do they come from? Are they even mine? And how do I address them and acknowledge them, sometimes give them a hug, release them and insert new programming? But if we're not willing to take that journey, we're just going to carry this weight with us wherever we go.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm reminded of a book I read a long time ago by Brian Weiss, who's a psychiatrist. And he was in a session with one of his patients who had some psychological problems. And he put her, he hypnotized her. And what was his intention was to take her back perhaps to her childhood, mm-hmm. to find out where the root of this problem was, what was causing it. And he told her to go back to the time where this problem originated.
Yeah.
And she went back to a life that occurred 3,500 years ago.
Exactly. Exactly.
And
it
he was able
with
to,
us.
He, this of course surprised him. He didn't believe in reincarnation, but he went with it. And over a period of time, this particular issue, I've forgotten exactly what it was, built up, but she was able to let go of it, to, as you say, embrace it and put it behind her, and got well as a result. Now, maybe our problems don't come from a life that was 35
exactly.
years ago. It
yeah.
could have been when we were
we don't
2 years
know. I mean,
old.
I've had 200 lifetimes removed from me that I was carrying the weight of. I was carrying the blockages from. And it's like, couldn't understand why I could not break through. You know, that big brick wall that was constantly there. I couldn't go under it, around it, you know, I couldn't get through it. And until I had the lifetimes removed. And it was like, you know, they were their blockages, some one of those lifetimes blockages. Later on came some more, because it's all the memory in our cellular tissue that will come up at a different time. And in doing so, it just kind of gave me a blank slate to understand, who am I now? What is my purpose here now? Instead of carrying the weight of the past, pulling me down, confusing me, and blocking me from being able to expand.
That's fascinating. How did you manage to get rid of those lifetimes? What was the process?
One of the processes was a woman with a pendulum. And it was kind of quite a weird experience. So she's using the pendulum, saying certain words, etc. And had to keep running to the bathroom because it just felt like I was just releasing and detoxing. And you could kind of feel things being pulled out. And another time when I thought all of it was gone is somebody doing not necessarily Reiki, but energy release. And she was going deep down into my memory tissue and discovered at least 50 lifetimes of persecution for being a spiritual person. And also somewhere along the line, signing a vow of poverty. Which can I can never understand. Why doesn't money stay in my hand? It's like I've got a sieve. It goes right through. Bills pile up, but the money goes right through. And it's not to do with my relationship with money today. It was obviously to do with this, past life of at least 50 lifetimes of vow of poverty. That's hard to get rid of. Like they can bring it up to the surface and they can get rid of it energetically, because again, it's old energy imprints that are in there. It's old and all programming is energy imprints. And so she released those energy imprints. But I've still had to do some more work from then to make sure that it's all completely gone, because although that may have gone, the mindset is still dealing with it. So the mind also has to delete and recognize that's been released from me now. I can change my mindset and choose what the path. I'm not going to be persecuted anymore for speaking like this, for talking like this. There isn't any torn and quarter or dunking or God knows what else they used to do, burn at the stake and everything else that used to go on. And I think that this is, for me, this is what this lifetime has been. It's the liberation to step into the purpose that I came here for in the first place. But I had to get rid of those old ones.
Well, that's fascinating, yeah. One of my ancestors was one of the Salem witches from Massachusetts. She was hanged as a witch. I really studied that whole episode in history, the hysteria that took place, and wrote a book about it called A Witch in the Family. I don't think that my ancestor was actually a witch. She
No.
was just a very strong woman who didn't put up with a lot of
Balderdash.
And she was a widow and was able to run the farm herself, and people thought, well, she must be using witchcraft in order to do
Well,
that.
I mean, the hysteria
So
that went out of proportion, didn't it? And didn't they actually find out that it was LSD in the crops, that and since then there's been certain time periods that the crops have this something attached to it that brings
that's
on these
one of
hallucinations?
the theories. That's one of the theories. I just think it was a matter of people believed these things strongly, and I think that they actually did feel that they were being attacked by specters, ghosts of the people who they accused as witches. A lot of them. I don't think it was necessarily malicious, not for all of them, but and there were at least one of the 19 women who were executed during that period of time, I think, probably was practicing witchcraft, just from what I can tell. I mean, they found effigy dolls in her house that sticking pins kind of thing. But so I think it was really more a matter of belief, and they probably were experiencing, but psychosomatic kind of symptoms.
Well, we know how
Anyway.
hysteria is so catching. Like
Yeah.
we just have to see this on a Twitter rant, and the next person joins. I mean, this whole thing going on with Taylor Swift right now, which is totally utterly ridiculous. And one person posts something and another one climbs on top of that, and another, and the next thing you've got this, pandemic of hysteria out there that has lost all forms of common sense whatsoever. But hysteria is very, very catching.
Well, it is, and it's all part of the fact that we're all part of this one mind. So it's not like, scientific materialists, physicalists, people who believe it's only matter in the universe and there's nothing beyond. The mind is inside your head and it stays there. It's in your brain, it's inside your skull. The fact of the matter is, your mind is everywhere. You are part of this larger mind, this one mind. We're all part of it. So the thoughts that go into that, it's no wonder that there's such a thing as crowd hysteria, that because we're part of a group mind when that happens, and it can, people can panic, and it get hysterical, as they say. And so, yeah, that's
I
what
mean,
happened.
in order to not be caught up in that hysteria, this is where you have to kind of switch off and go in and look for that peace within, because the wisdom of what to do with that knowledge in the noggin, the wisdom of how to react in a situation, the wisdom of what to feed energetically comes from within. And so if the biggest thing is that when you see that hysteria trying to sweep over you, go in and make sure that you're not dancing out, because that's where it's so easy to get caught up in it without kind of even realizing it. But when you go in and seek that wisdom and that peace, then you, the common sense thing steps up, doesn't it? The clarity steps up.
Right, right. You know, I agree with that 100%. And again, as I say, to me, it's the silent observer, pause, take a couple of deep breaths, maybe meditate, but you can do it. Everybody has the power to step back and connect with that part of you that is connected to the one mind.
Yeah.
And it's often done through meditation. Once when I was meditating, I had a full-blown mystical experience where I felt that I actually merged with that one mind, and whatever I thought of, I knew the answers to.
Yes.
I mean, it was just an amazing, it's almost like a near-death experience.
Yeah.
Where
astral traveling.
I felt the love.
Yeah.
Yes. And it went, I don't know how long it went on, but when I came out of that, I really knew that I was part of this much larger reality that that we're all one, because you know, it was just clear to me when that happened. Have you ever had anything like that?
Very much so. I call it kind of dimensional or astral traveling, and it's like it's being up in the universe where you're a part of everything, but you're also a part of nothing. And it's beautiful, because it's like you're in that blank space. And all you're going to receive, everybody thinks it's just going to be download. No, you're going to receive what you need to receive at the time that you receive it. But it's the sense of like a deep breath, of a big sense of peace, a big sense of clarity, a big sense of support, of not being alone. You know, it's not like the Star Trek, the Borg. We're not going to assimilate you. Resistance is futile. But it is futile to deny that consciousness of that higher level, because it's within you waiting to be switched on. And when you do get to have these beautiful experiences where you truly understand what the one means, right? It's not giving yourself up. It's becoming a part of.
Absolutely. The word that came to me when I was having this was, it was a void. It was like everything but nothing. I don't know how to explain it.
No, but that's it. That's the thing.
Time.
How do you explain it? It is everything
and
nothing.
Definitely helpful.
Yeah, it's hard for, you know, when people say, well, what is it? Everything or nothing? No, it's both. That's the beauty of it, right? It is, we limit ourselves by the human mind of what we understand. This is beyond human comprehension. This is soul and spirit comprehension. And there aren't those really words to describe it. But my God, do you know it? Because you feel it. And what is the higher consciousness but this heightened feeling that you have? Because you feel the power going through you. You feel the source going through you. It isn't just knowledge, head knowledge. It is the feeling of everything running through you. And that's how you know when something's right or not right, because you can feel it. You know, when my core says, nope, don't do it, I don't argue. I don't need to argue. I don't need to go, well, why not? You know, the core has said no. And then other times when the core is on the fence, go and investigate, right? To see if it's for you. But when the core says no, I've learned to honor it, because if I don't, guaranteed, it's going to be something negative.
Oh, absolutely. That feeling of intuition, of knowing, that really is something to pay attention to. And it's something I learned quite a long time ago. And I go with my gut, as they say.
Yes.
And there are times when it's I'm not sure kind of thing, and then I've got to meditate on it. What I often do is if I've got a situation I'm trying to decide what to do, I'll tell myself before I go to sleep at night that when I wake up in the morning, I'll have the answer. And
Yeah.
it's either a yes or a no.
Yes.
And it almost always works that way. When I wake up in the morning, it's like, yeah, I got it. Okay, that's what I'm going to do.
You're out of
So,
head. You're out of thought. You've surrendered and allowed.
surrendered and allowed. And I think somehow or other, perhaps I guess when you're asleep, your subconscious mind is working on it, and it'll give you the answer.
Yeah.
If you're truly willing to accept it and ask for it, you'll get it.
Right. It's the same with manifestation. Everybody thinks manifesting Amazon delivery is going to be there within 24 hours. It's when we manifest, it means that we are seeding not what we want, but how we want to feel. Right. And when we give the universe of how we want to feel, not what we want, then the universe, it's a measurable vibration. It's a measurable signature, and the universe knows how to steer us in the direction or steer people to us that are going to give us that. So it's not about things. It's about how you feel, how you want to feel in life. And when you put that feeling, I want to feel at peace, I want to feel productive, I want to feel safe. That is all that feeling that you have out there that the universe will then download when you're ready to receive it, and you will feel like that. But a lot of people always think it's about thought. It isn't. You've got to feel those thoughts, not the other way around.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. It's some people think that it's their beliefs, but you can believe something and not really feel that it's occurred or that you have it. And I think that is what you're saying. That's the key, is to have that feeling, and then the universe is going to. You're getting the right vibrations out there, whatever. It's going to bring it to you because that's what it does. It reinforces, it's, as I said earlier, like attracts like. So you have that feeling that you have it. I think it was Jesus said, whatsoever you ask for, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And so he was right.
Yeah, absolutely. And but it's a question of the why do you want it? And if the universe feels that it is not something that's going to serve you, it's not going to give it to you. It's going to give us what will serve us, what it knows better. And it's always like when anything ever goes wrong, it's pretty, it comes from human thought or human programming or human fear. That's when we go wrong. But when we allow that divine energy to come through us and show us the way and give us the wisdom, then we're going to make right choices. We're also going to have this big word called patience, because we know that it will come in the time it's meant to come in. Whereas if you're just in the human mind, we're impatient and we want it right now.
Well, that's for sure. And that's one of my biggest problems is being impatient. And I know that what you're saying is true. In fact, I think it was Edgar Cayce who said that one of the reasons we're in this reality is to learn patience. Because in the spiritual world, in the realm of mind, when we're not in this physical reality, things happen instantly. Here, it takes time. Like you said, and it's not going to happen until it's supposed to happen, and we of course want it yesterday. So yeah, it's something I have to remind myself of constantly that it's going to happen, but it's going to happen when not when I want it necessarily, but when it needs to happen.
When it needs
So
to
there you
happen,
go.
that's very, yeah, absolutely. When it needs to happen, and that's something that's very important for us to actually understand. And also to actually understand that the universe has a plan. We're just way behind as humans. I mean, look at the things that we can do with technology. I mean, we're just doing some leaps and bounds, absolutely incredible. And then you've got the people that are opposed to it. Well, anything in the wrong hands is going to be negative. Anybody with the wrong intentions, it's going to be bad. But when you look at the technologies we're given and we use it compassionately and wisely, and productively, it could be something that can serve us quite considerably. But we have not yet evolved ourselves on that conscious level to understand that, because we're still very much driven by fear, a fear of the unknown. Well,
Absolutely.
if you don't know it, get to know it, and then you won't be so afraid, or you'll know whether to be afraid of it or not.
Yes, that's right. And I think politicians in particular will stoke that
Oh,
fear because,
serves them.
their campaign slogan is, "We can fix those problems and those fears for you if you elect us."
Yes.
And it's important not to fall for that ploy because it's used so constantly.
Yeah.
And
And it's balderdash again. You
yeah,
know,
and there's
they
really
have to,
no.
they're not going to fix anything.
Oh no, but they're just going to line their pockets, I'm afraid.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, it is again back to that hysteria, that fear mongering. You know, look at how when you get people stirred up and get into that hysteria, how you can get them to do things that they never ever would do in a rational mind, right? And that is stirring the pot. And a lot of religions, I've got nothing against faith, but some religions I have against where it is, you know, the hell and the her hell earth, only if you pay this at the culprit, only if you do this, God will love you. You know, that is not the way energy works, right? That's not the way loving God energy works. And if that's your religion, then it's not any religion I want to be a part of, because this is all about lovingness, really, quite honestly, lovingness and compassion.
True. And I mean the idea that you're going to hell if you don't, toe the line has been used through the centuries to keep people in line and by the church, by the state. So yeah, when people have near-death experiences and they go to the other side, typically or often they have a past life review, they review their life and they can see the decisions that they made that were good ones and the ones that weren't. And they can actually feel and experience what the person others experienced as a result of their actions and decisions and words and so forth. And that's not judgment, like the idea that when you die, you're going to go in front of God and be judged. It's you seeing your life and learning from it
Yes.
and maybe judging yourself to some extent, but the
Yeah.
purpose is to for you to learn. And it's not for because not for you to suffer, but to learn from your actions. It reminds me of the movie Groundhog Day, where the character has the same day happen to him over and over again. And he starts out, he's a real jerk and things go wrong. And he goes through many, many days until he finally starts doing the right thing with love and understanding and helping people rather than brushing them off. And that's when he finally gets to move on. And to me,
Yeah.
that's kind of what life
Yes.
and is about,
Yeah.
where we keep reincarnating, probably even in the same life, facing situations that are similar over and over again until we finally figure out the way to handle them in the best way, which is always going to be with love and understanding. So, yeah, that's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I always say to people, you know, take care of your chute this lifetime so you're not imposing it on the next one, right? Because
Yeah.
that's what we're here to do. We're here to resolve things. We're here to come to terms with things. We're here to rise up to that higher frequency so that when we go, we and if we come back, we're coming back more as teachers rather than as learners. And you know, we don't come back with the same garbage and have to go through another lifetime of trying to delete all programming, but we instead we come back stepping into that meaningful purpose of enlightenment and of encouragement and of empowerment, and that really is going to serve us, because I really do feel as a human race we're way behind our human development. And I think that that, you know, I've been saying now for quite some years, they keep turning the volume up as on us a little higher, a little higher, rise, rise, rise. And we're seeing many people rising. and stepping into that, which is beautiful. I'm like writing books on how to do that, step into that consciousness. And the more and more that this has becoming mainstream and talked about, the more it is opening people up to what else is there. But I can't come fast enough as far as I'm concerned, but we've still got a little ways to go, but it's still up to each and every one of us to step into that beautiful journey of, heart, soul, and spirit awakening.
You know, I've seen really vast change over the last 25 or 30 years from when I first started writing books about this. I think the first book I wrote that had to do with consciousness and all that was in 1995, and I got a lot of pushback on it.
Of
People,
course. Yes. Yes.
Now when I write one that's very similar, like this one I just came out with, Fast Track to Higher Consciousness, that's gotten almost all 5-star reviews, and so there are very few skeptics out there who are trying to push back on these ideas. I think that people are coming around, and I think it's because of shows like yours, your podcast, so on, where this kind of information is so much more available than it was 5 or 30 years ago.
Oh,
the mainstream media is not going to talk about it because they're in league with the politicians.
Yes. And of course, anything like this is cultish and evil, right? That's how they paint it. And because they don't want the challenge to be there. And, if that's what you're wanting to buy, that's, your choice. But when it comes to it, again, resistance is futile. You either get on this conscious bandwagon or you're going to get left behind. And it's interesting because you started it in 95 because 94 was one of those huge spiritual uploads or downloads where a lot of people from all walks of life walked away from a life of what they knew and completely awoke to this journey and became, those teachers and those enlighteners along the way. And of course, then 2012, we had another surge. And as I said, right now, the volume is being put up every year on us to for more and more people to look at this as something that isn't woo-woo, because I hate that word, but to do with, the embracement of a higher consciousness of love. And if you don't want to be in the space of love and peace, then you really need to take a good look at your old programming and your old patterning and go, what's holding you back from wanting love and peace?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, that's interesting. You mentioned 2012 because I guess it was the raw material. Are you familiar with that?
Sorry, the what?
The Law of One.
Yeah.
The Law of One that was channeled. Ra was channeled back in the early 1980s, and they said back then that the 2012 would be when we cross over from all third density status to entering into the fourth density.
Yes.
And it's a matter of vibrational, their consciousness has raised, and we're like 51% into it. And of course, we've got the other, that was 10 years ago, 11 years ago now.
12.
So maybe we moved
to, this April, I started my shows on the 4th of April, 2012. And even how it came about was rather bizarre. And I was with another network for 13 months before I started my own. So this June will be 11 years of my own. And when I was asked to join this woman on her podcast network, I went, what's a podcast? I had no idea. And I had no idea it was going to take me where I am today with podcast books and 3,500 shows and getting to meet people like you and some awesome people around the world that are stepping up, that have stepped up, that are there as the enlighteners or there as the supporters. And it is, I do really believe, through things like podcasts and TED Talks and just that ability to hear over and over again what people are saying. From part, some people need to be backed by science. Well, there's the science on it. For some people, I've got to feel it. This is how you switch on. You know, for some people, how do I become it? And that is, the more that you feel it, the more you become it. The more you embrace it and allow it, the more you become it. Because it's not something you do. It is something you are.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and it's interesting for me to think about, like Max Planck, who's more than 100 years ago actually said that all is consciousness, it's energy, it's conscious energy. He called it the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been picked up. But in 1931, in fact, he was quoted in a British magazine or newspaper, I guess, The Observer, saying that that behind everything was this one mind, mm-hmm. this intelligence. And that was 1931.
Right.
And it's taking us this long.
I know.
But anyway, yeah. It's happening. It's happening.
I mean, in some ways we're leaps and bounding, in other ways we're dragging our feet. But, you know, it had to come to a point. You know, the universe gave me a saying, which I'm sure people are probably sick of me reminding, but anyway, 6 years ago, the universe is going to shake us up, to wake us up, for us to step up, change it up, and grow up vibrationally, but also grow up as a human race. Stop whining and you know, bitter and twisted and everything else, because that is so unproductive and unbecoming, that, you know, start looking at all in gratitude of everything that you have from within, all around you, and how to use it in a way that that expands your own consciousness, those consciousnesses around you, but it expands the energy of the planet and helps us actually elevate up to those higher dimensions where we become at one with the universe, which we are, but consciously, more open consciously. And it's, we, you know, for some people, they're still in the shakeup and they like the shakeup. They don't want to step up. You know, it's too easy to blame everyone else rather than take any accountability or do the work to step into this consciousness. But, you know, I've been saying for a long time that that third dimension, the fourth bridge and the fifth higher consciousness, the fourth bridge is going to break away from the third. And I believe that it already has. And if you weren't on that fourth, you're left behind. And I think the reason why we see so many wars and discontent and God knows all that other doodah that's going on right now, which is utterly ridiculous and darn right inhumane. The reason why they're screaming and shouting so much is because they know the bridge is already gone. And they're trying desperately to hold on to an old pattern, an old paradigm that already is non-existent, because we've already heightened. We just don't advertise it in the same way. You'll not see us on Fox News.
Well, what do we need to do to get on Fox News?
Oh, my God, we'll scare the bejeebies out of them. They will have us torn and quartered. And, you know, because it's anything like this becomes, I don't know if you saw it, of course, there was this Colbert or something where they talked about woke, 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 and they get hung up on a word, and then it becomes cult, 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 cult. And it, like, there, again, talk about hysteria. Fox News takes a pimple and makes it into a volcanic eruption, and there isn't an element of truth in it whatsoever.
Yeah, I think all the media, mainstream media, does it. You know, they want to keep people, you know, towing the line rather than realizing that they have the power. And that's what's going on. CNN, MSNBC, all.
Yeah. Well, they're bought by, you know, the political backers or the, you know, I don't know if you ever saw the fantastic show in 2010, The Newsroom.
I have not.
Well, it's on Netflix, I think. I highly recommend it. They did 3 seasons, and it's kind of showing the transition between real news and the transition of basically consumers buying spots and rearranging the news. And it's the pushback from it. And we, you know, we look at things now, and of course with the AI too, which I like AI, but not in this way. We're seeing the manipulation of the truth. Well, everybody's blaming AI for the manipulation of the truth. It's being manipulated now for quite some time, because again, it's the people that want to hang on to what they've got and that don't want to evolve, that are trying to manipulate people to stay with the sinking ship. We have to take accountability ourselves as an individual. Stop pointing that finger. There's three pointing back at you. How are you going to look at your programming, your patterning? How are you going to change those beliefs? What work are you going to do to ignite and become connected with self, therefore connected with the universe? What's your meaningful purpose in you being here? What beautiful instrument are you ready to play? And I think it's that whole mindset of willing to take that self-discovery to our own inner wisdom and the willingness to do the work, I think is for us, we're kind of hungry on it. What's next? What else can I know? For other people, it's intimidating. But the more that you get on that journey and start taking it, the more and more you become hungry for it.
Absolutely, absolutely. I went on a weekend 20 years ago, almost, well, actually 21 years ago, 23. Well, anyway, that's not important. But the idea of this retreat, it was at the College of Metaphysics in Missouri. We spent a weekend to find out what they called your dharma, which is your gift, your thing
Yes.
that you can do better probably than anyone else, that you have to use to give to others, to serve others. And I, when I went on that, I came, they, I learned that my dharma is what they called omniperception, which is really more intuition,
Yes.
where I'm able to see something that's, you know, only partial, but then I kind of get the whole picture comes to me.
Yes.
And that's how I'm able to write these books. And since then, that I've been really turning them out because I found that is my gift, that I
Yes.
hopefully somebody can read one of my books and they'll get the message that you're putting out in your podcast, which is that we're all part of this one mind, this source,
Yes.
this that we are extensions of it. We are the way the source views its own creation. We are viewing our own creation,
Yeah.
that we're creating it.
Yes.
And so once we realize that we're creating it, then we can create what we want rather than what is default because of
Yes.
the fear and so forth that's being pushed on us.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And one, but that's the whole point. You know, I kind of draw the analogy of, you know, what instrument are we? How do we learn to play it? We can play as a soloist and really have a lot of impact. But when we join an orchestra and each one of their own strengths willingly to play harmoniously together becomes transforming, translucent for people and raises them up on such a higher level. So it is what is our, every single one of us was given a meaningful purpose. What is it? What is our instrument? How are we meant to use it? And use it in a way that always comes from the heart. People say to me, who do you interview? And I say, those that really come from the heart. People that really want to serve other people because we're here. And, you know, to serve one another, we're here to be contributors. We're here with our own beautiful gift as this is our serving tool. And the more we step into that, you know, with passion and with commitment, the more that we actually then start benefiting other people as well as ourselves. Because when you step into that meaningful purpose, you're not doing anything, you're being something. And I'm sure writing for you now comes extremely easy. It's just channeling that download, right? Where in the beginning, perhaps it was harder. But when you step into your beingness, you are just simply doing what you're being. And it's just something that you are, and it's a beautiful place to be, isn't it?
It is easy now, and it was difficult when I first started, but it comes. It's like I have a muse that's singing to me,
Yes.
and I just group. But it was Ra. I think I mentioned the Law of One, channeled back in the early 80s, that said that as we're moving from third density to fourth density to fifth density, that we have a choice to make when we're in third density, which is, are we going to be there are two ways to go. There's service to self, and there's service to others. And service to self is not going to incarnate in this fourth density when it's fully blown. They're going to go maybe some other planet, but they're not going to come with us. And
Right.
so it'll be the service to others who are form the fourth and fifth densities. I think it says in sixth density, service to other folks have figured out that they're not going anywhere and they've got to switch. But anyway, that's a choice that we all have to make, I think.
Yep.
Are we going to serve others, or are we just going to serve ourselves and be selfish about it?
And we've seen how, you know, that form of behavior, what does it produce? War, violence, disconnect, a discontent, never enough, and no sense of value, That's what that produces. But when you choose to step into your true enrichment and abundance and share that, that then, like that soul awareness, that soul conscious is your compass that will lead you right. But that generator of love from your heart just keeps going. The more you give away, the more it regenerates, because giving that love away becomes something in what you do and who you are. It becomes your generator. And, you know how to target, you know whom to target, because that's, you're on that plane. I think that we definitely have many, like yourself, on the fifth dimension. But I think what we're now opening up, and I think is going to be in the next 5 years, the sixth and seventh dimension is going to be very much into that higher consciousness, where we kind of actually understand how to take the human body to another level, the human existence to another level. I don't know if I'm going to be around for it. I'm 69, so I'm hoping to have another 20 years. We'll see. I'm hoping to see this change as we go. But just seeing the change in the last 12 years, when, you know, when I was always a spiritual person. I grew up that way, but I had to suppress it. And because, I mean, I was always odd. I couldn't stop being odd. But I had to kind of keep what I was and what I was doing away from certain people, because obviously it was just not accepted. Nowadays, you can say it and people will either accept it or not, but you've got more options of people who are saying me too, and it's permission for me too to talk about this experience, and those shared experiences become a beautiful dance of awakening and awareness that just allows it to expand on each other.
Yeah, well, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. I think you're absolutely right. This has been a great conversation. I think I've learned a lot too.
This book is reinforced.
Yeah, go ahead. It's reinforced my own thinking, I guess. But you want to ask about my book? Yes.
Yes.
If you go to my website, it's on the home page. It's called Fast Track to Higher Consciousness. And it's about who you are and where you're headed. It basically says a lot of what we've been talking about today. This one life, this one mind. I realize, go to my website, you'll see some other books there. shmartin.com, shmartin.com.
And all of the books there. And go back and listen to his other show that we did on the afterlife. Everything is intertwined. These are just different instruments in this orchestra of life. Every time you write a book, it's a different instrument, a different perspective, a different teaching, but it's all part of that same orchestra. And that's the beauty of it. This collective consciousness that we're talking about isn't the Borg and you giving up your identity. It is actually discovering your identity of your beautiful gift and purpose through the collective consciousness. And to know that with the collective consciousness, we are never alone. We are always guided and we are always supported. Anytime I've had a hard time in life has never, ever been when I've been in my spiritual beingness. It's always been when I'm amongst those human dynamics of limitations. And, you know, when we allow that beautiful collective consciousness to download and ignite that beautiful gift that we are and our meaningful purpose, it is such an incredible connection that it is, again, hard to explain. You've just got to get there, folks, and come and feel it for yourself, because it's beautiful.
Absolutely, 100%. I'm right with you.
So it's shmartin.com. And of course, the past show that we did was where all you have to do is put in Stephen Martin in the search engine on selfdiscoverywisdom.com, and that's Stephen Martin. And and listen to that one we did on that book, and also the human consciousness. It's always around the human consciousness, and of course this one, the fast track to higher consciousness. And you know, back in the day, I would have said, no, we can't do fast tracks. It is a slow process because we had to go with what the energy was feeding us at the time. But as I said, they've been turning the volume up on us. They've been turning it up on us. And we now can have those faster results and faster connections if we just choose to kind of give our mind permission to surrender and allow, tune in and become.
Right on, right on. Perfect. That's
Without
great. Thank
condition
you.
and without dictation. So, yes, definitely. So, thanks, Kat, for coming back here and sharing here again today. We all need to step into that consciousness, and there's plenty of data out there to back it scientifically. And it's been around for the beginning of time, folks. We just lost our way. It's rather like in the Lord of the Rings when the elves said, no, we're going. It's now time of man. Right. Well, now the elves have come back and said, we gave man time. We're back now to show you the way before they destroy everything. So get into that higher consciousness because that's where creativity is, not destruction. So thank you very much, Stephen, and to everyone else out there. Until next time, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. There are so many more for you here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. Just go to the podcast tag at the top there and you will see all the many genres and all 3,000 shows ready for your listening. We are here to serve you, to help you on your journey of life. And we know that through inspiration, it begets invitation. We are supported by you, the listeners, and those that we interview. Anything that you can spare us in donation would be greatly accepted. And we do hope that you enjoy the next show.